sponsor of the Road to the Green New Deal Town Hall on Sunday, June 16th at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. Sunrise Movement PDX hosts the Portland leg of the National Road to the Green New Deal Tour, featuring local activists like Antonio Zamora of For the People, community leaders, and key political players Representative Blumenauer and Senator Merkley. All will discuss the plan for tackling the climate crisis and creating jobs in the process. Again, that's the Road to the Green New Deal Town Hall on Sunday, June 16th at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up next on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, Abe and Joe ask, is there a way out of the mess we're in? What gives you hope or despair? And they take your calls.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Good in the Hood, the weekend of June 21st through 23rd at King School Park in Portland. Good in the Hood is a multicultural music, art, and food festival celebrating diversity and connecting people with resources and experience to strengthen the unity in the community.
The Good in the Hood parade will take place Saturday starting at North Williams and North Russell Street at 11 a.m. and KBOO will be broadcasting the festival live on Saturday starting at 2 p.m. and Sunday starting at noon. Again, that's Good in the Hood Friday, June 21st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, June 22nd from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 23rd from noon to 10 p.m. at King School Park in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 6 p.m. More information is available on Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's hotter than hell.
No, it isn't.
What?
It's not.
That's because you're from Sacramento.
That's exactly why.
You have no understanding.
For once, your rebuttal has stopped me cold, Joe. Yeah, I grew up where it's actually really hot. So.
Well, I did, too. I lived in Temecula.
Yeah, that's pretty hot down
there. That's a hotter than hell place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, you know.
They had a river. It was about 2 inches deep.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
No wonder you have such a sunny outlook on the world.
I was born and trained to believe in America.
America?
America. Remember when we had a president of the United States who talked like that?
I do.
Oh, well, those days are gone. Now we got the obloviator.
Obloviator?
Obloviator.
Yeah.
That's a combination of oblivion and stupidity. Obloviating.
All right, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on 90.7 KBOO FM, Portland's community supported radio station. Portland and beyond, we should say.
Yes, beyond, well beyond.
Yeah, we have lots of far-flung listeners, I've come to know.
Really?
Yeah. See, I get you ever heard of the internet, Joe?
No.
Yeah, see, people all over the place listen to us, and they write to me about it.
Well, you're a lucky guy to have all these strangers writing to you.
I am. I am a really lucky guy.
I'll bet some of them would like to know you better.
Some of them might. Yeah, that's possibly the case. We're going to deviate from the norm today a little bit in that we are going to largely step out of the way.
And let you, that's you out there listening right now, talk to us about something that concerns you. Hopefully it won't be too stupid. I have a very negative attitude because it's hot.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith. I just read an article that said that people are starting to believe in astrology and witchcraft and all other manner of stupid.
Just now? They've believed
in that stuff all along. No, this
was
in the New York Times. This was Brooks.
David Brooks?
Today.
Okay, well,
What are you going to do?
There's your first mistake.
Hey, and I saw, saw it on the net. Ooh.
Okay, so we're going to let you largely drive today's narrative. What we're interested in hearing now is your analysis of the current world situation, the mess we're in.
The mess we're
in. Do you see a way out of it? Do you think things are going to get worse before they get better? Do you think things are going to get better at all?
Or do you just want to complain?
Or do you just want to complain? What gives you hope? What sort of bright spots, little green shoots of hope do you see out there? That's what we want
little
to hear
green
about.
Shoots
little
of
green
hope?
Shoots.
What are you, some kind of marijuana
hope?
Grower or something?
No.
Okay.
I am not.
Okay.
At least not.
Let's make this clear.
For commercial use.
Never. That's against the law. You can have four plants.
I know you can, but we digress.
Yes, a lot. 231-8187.
Yes, 503-231-8187. Again, we'll take your written commentary. That's a good way to jump to the front of the line if you're having trouble getting through. Facebook.com/AbeandJoe. That's the easiest way. Or on the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Again, I will read written comments just to keep Joe from talking. So let that be your incentive.
Isn't that
incentive.
Swell?
Today, I'm going to give you an example of what we're looking for. I fear... I hope that we will find a way to decarbonize our economy. We will transition away from combustible petrochemicals. In my lifetime, we will find a way to do that.
You are such a sweet guy.
But I fear that by the time we do that, it will essentially have been too late. We are going to see some pretty catastrophic consequences of 150 years of fossil fuel-driven industrial capitalism.
And you call me grim.
No, this is... I'm saying I think a best case scenario is that we figure out a way to decarbonize the economy, but not before many large population centers are displaced because their homes have become uninhabitable.
Dengue fever coming to a neighborhood near you.
Yeah, I'm talking about highly populated, low-lying coastal areas, nations like Bangladesh, for example. Also places, semi-arid population centers, Southern California. The southwestern United
California,
States.
California, semi-arid?
Central and northern Mexico, yes.
No, it gets its water from the Colorado. Yeah. It's okay.
Colorado runs dry before it reaches the sea, Joe. What I'm saying is that places like this that don't have enough water to sustain their population centers will no longer be able to sustain their population centers. At best, we're going to see displacements of many large segments of population. At worst, we're going to see wars break out over water and other finite
needs.
Resources.
Yes.
Yes. In the meantime, while we're working to decarbonize the economy, we're going to see the petrochemical sector of the economy fight even harder to hang on to what it has and fight even harder to exploit the remaining petro resources under the ground. So in the short term, we may see oil wars break out. Before we finally figure out how to move away from
all
it.
All right. Now, people are lining up, man.
Yep.
Okay.
So let's jump right in. Edie is first.
Edie, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes. But closer to the phone would be better.
Okay.
Yes.
I would love to invite folks to be a part of Extinction Rebellion and helping us make downtown Portland a safer place for all, and the world, the planet, a better safe place for all. So, come June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd to downtown Portland at Cherry Trunk Plaza between the federal building is green and the city hall, and see what you can do to contribute to us having Portland be free of the poisons that cause cancers, dementia, autism, asthma, etc., as well as fires. And in the hotter summer, we're going to have the inversion so that all this toxins from our and from trucks and cars and from the forest fires are going to be making it very unsafe to be downtown and hurting our local economy and health. So you can act ahead of time. Go to the Extinction Rebellion website, see what you can be doing to support bicycling, electric transit, maybe a car-free downtown Portland, and getting rid of Zenith oil bombs, which are highly explosive. Those big tanks would have over 100 times the TNT capacity of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. So let's do what we can, have fun with some really good people, and have that self-respect. It's empowering. It heals depression and loneliness. Come on out.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good
idea.
That's
pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah, a little hard to follow because of the cell phones, you know, they don't really work that well.
They work quite well.
They don't work
that
well.
They work quite well, Joe. Good Lord. When you crawl out of the hole you live your life in and join the modern world, we'll be so happy.
You can no longer tell if people are crazy or they're on the phone. Or maybe they're both.
Really, I have no trouble making that distinction.
That's because you're not looking.
Your techno-cynicism, your Luddite-hood.
You don't understand.
Join the rest of the world, Joe.
You don't even
you're
understand
what's
happening.
You're clutching on to bygone eras
totally
and wasting
it.
Our time. Let's go to Robbie.
Okay, Robbie, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something. Everyone's really brought down by the state the world's in. But did you know the word apocalypse? Translated in its original root meaning from Greek, means lifting of the veil.
No, I did not know that.
I didn't know that. That's is that true?
So yes, it is. I'm writing my second book about it. It's a guide to amanitize the Eshtakhan. But basically, apocalypse is lifting of the veil. I have hope. I have hope that what's going to happen is when the right wing people realize that everything, like when the truth is exposed to everybody. Is really what it comes down to when people realize that, you know, right-wing values, the Christian state that it is nowhere near what Jesus had meant it to be. When everything, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to say something kind of controversial right now, but geoengineering is something that's very real going on. The Beijing Weather Modification Office, when we realize how much our government is attempting to control the weather, and we actually realize how catastrophic this climate change is going to be, I think that's hope. It gives me hope that when we know the truth, we'll get beyond. Anyway, I'll take my comment off. But yeah, the apocalypse means lifting of the veil.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it.
But what about the zombie apocalypse?
Oh, that's a different show. We'll do a different show on that.
Totally different show.
Harvey, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Joe and Abe. I'd like to, first of all, I have two comments, one about energy and one about water.
Okay.
And first, it's been estimated that the payback time on a solar electric installation, including rechargeable batteries, is about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that if you buy an electric car and plug it into your solar electric rooftop, the money you save on gasoline and diesel can help pay back the rooftop in about 5 years. And the fantastic part because in a solar electric rooftop and shingles are warrantied for about 25 years, once you pay off your solar installation in approximately 5 years, you have 20 years of clean renewable electricity, both your home and your vehicle. And if you add up your 2018 home electric bill plus your gasoline bill and multiply that times 20 years, and that's at the current prices, they're always going up, we're talking about a massive savings of tens of thousands of dollars. So it really is time to go electric, solar electric. And as far as water, I'd like to see an electric vehicle solar water credit bill. It turns out that coal-fired, oil-fired, methane, and nuclear power plants are second only to agriculture in their daily use of America's freshwater resources. The good news is once a manufacturer installs solar panels, use virtually no water over their 20 to 25-year warranted lifetime. And the same is true for electric cars. Once they're manufactured and assembled, electric cars use virtually no water over their lifetime. So an EV solar water credit in the form of a tax credit can be given to conscientious, forward-thinking Americans who have already purchased or are about to purchase electric vehicles and plugging them into their solar electric rooftop. And I say that it's time to get star powered. Let's get solar.
No, I think I want to thank you. I have an actual question for you. See, what happens if your roof is oriented not so that it faces south? Can you still put in solar?
I'm not quite sure about that yet. You know, it's all rooftop by rooftop. But also, you can join a community. You can join a community that
everybody could hook up together.
Or put solar panels on, say, rooftops of buildings and lease the rooftops on, say, warehouses and all that, and become a solar community where you're actually zeroing out your solar bill by zeroing out your carbon footprint by joining a community and going solar.
Our engineer Ray just pointed out that a great solar opportunity exists in high density apartment buildings. Solar installations on the roof and on the facades. I mean, there's all sorts of opportunities there.
Yes, and there's solar electric glass now for glass windows.
Really?
There's solar electric siding. I think that the opportunity is here and now, and if we want to help stabilize and cool our planet, we need to go solar. The sun is the ultimate nuclear, you know, I always say that solar is safe nuclear. You want nuclear, solar panels is the way to go. The nuclear radiation or the radiation from the sun hits our solar panels and turns it directly into electricity. We have it here. The technology is now. I say let's invest in it. And the beautiful thing is that New York State, they divested their firemen and policemen's fund away from fossil fuels towards renewables, and I think that we should go to our city councils and do the same, follow New York's example. It really is time, because we don't want to see, especially our coastal cities, sea rise is going to inundate us. It'll be a disaster for all of us, so let's get solar.
Thank you very much. One more question before you go.
There's a big barrier to entry, obviously, in setting yourself up for solar, in that there's a big initial investment. I know that at one time there were fairly substantial tax credits available for people to offset some of that cost. Is there a similar incentive now, or is everybody on their own?
No, there's lots of similar incentives, including from solar companies, like I think Solar City. They work with you to offset the initial costs. Also, you can work things out with the bank and through local governments fund these plans to go solar and away from centralized utility. Because centralized utility, once it stops, like here in California, they're shutting off the power. Every time they think there's a fire somewhere, they shut off the power to whole swaths of California. No, that game is over. We got to decentralize, and solar energy is the key to decentralization of our energy systems, and the banks and corporations will help, and also the solar companies will help set you up, and there'll be a very little down payment going. Also, I think electric cars, I'd like to see something called the clean energy combo, where you buy a solar electric installation, you get an electric car, and your battery system all in one signature. All the rebates, all the tax benefits are cut in, and you automatically reduce your carbon footprint all in one easy signature.
I think that's a very good idea, actually. I'm not sure capitalism is ready for it.
Well, there you go. We have the technology. I say, let's do it.
Hey, thank you for the call. Well, that was good.
That was good. That was to the point, and it was accurate, and it was correct, and it just makes me feel like there's hope.
Yeah, you know what I
really... For a minute.
What I'd really like to see is are some incentives for landlords to make their tenant housing solar-powered as well.
You would think.
I don't know for sure, but I believe that most of the tax incentives and other sorts of things out there are designed at targeted to private homeowners. I would like to see something out there that would make it easier for landlords to allow their tenants to live on solar power.
Dear landlord. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Arthur is next.
Arthur is next. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi there, Abe. Hi, Joe.
What's on your mind?
I do totally agree with the previous caller and with the emphasis on rooftop and neighborhood solar. That is the way to go. He's absolutely right. But I want to hear more about what you think, Abe, as the technophobe versus the Luddite Joe.
Well, you know, we play these roles. You do understand that.
No,
it's good. I'm glad you two work together. It works for a better show. Thanks, Abe.
So you want to hear what exactly?
I want to hear more about, you know, I do not believe in the self-driving car idea. You've got to give it through. And I do not believe in 200 mile per hour rails. I say the type we have here, the 100 mile per hour class, is more suitable, and it's Luddite technology. It's older than
you want steam choo-choos or what?
Joe would win that argument. And there's that. And I say the hybrid drive engine really has to be suitable for many vehicles, including Daimler's new trucks. They've got all battery.
The hybrid technology is, I think has its place and has been useful.
It's a good transition.
Yeah, from a market.
Joe, Abe, It can't be replaced with all battery tech.
Why not? Why can't it be?
The best example, are, and there's several, is we can power one giant truck, Daimler, we can power six Teslas, both of those are all battery, or we can power 100 plug-in hybrids that run on hydrogen.
They run on hydrogen. Okay, well, that's a different animal than a petroleum-based internal combustion.
But, hydrogen go boom.
That doesn't, Joe. Hydrogen poofs off and it's done. It's an immediate explosion, but it's not a fiery goes on.
Okay.
No, hydrogen isn't that explosive. But any fuel, when you can use it sparingly and rely on a smaller battery pack, that's the key. And you can, out of that smaller battery pack, get 100 miles per gallon on hydrogen or any fuel. And when it's done, it's a better match to your solar because it's a smaller pack, so you can spread more solar around. And don't do large trucks or buses. These new buses that were trotting out before us, they are not the best electric bus on the road. The only one they're really suitable for is Barber, where a bus system should go. And since we've got these, so any hybrid versus all battery, Joe would win that one. It's hybrid Luddite. It's higher technology, I say.
All right, thanks. Hey, thank you very much
For the call.
Yeah, I would get behind creating a hydrogen infrastructure. It's my understanding, and it is...
Go boom.
It is a volatile element, but it's the most... there's more hydrogen available in the universe than any other element, right? It's
the most plentiful
stuff around. The problem is it's volatile, not just because it explodes, but because it likes to bond with other stuff in the environment. It's very difficult to isolate hydrogen on its own. It takes a lot of energy to do so. And it's also because it's tiny. Hydrogen atoms are tiny.
They slip through.
Right. I know you're saying it in a kind of jokey way, but it's absolutely true. It's difficult.
What made you think I was joking?
Well, usually when you open your mouth, that's a good clue.
Oh, you're so rude. I don't believe this.
It can be difficult to transport hydrogen by way of a pipeline, for example, without losing a fair amount of it. Again, my understanding of the hydrogen infrastructure is limited. So if people know more, please call up and let us know. But yeah, I would get behind something like that. Absolutely.
I'm all for all of it. And I think it's really interesting that we're not doing anything about it. And I think it's because capitalism is stuck in a retro model.
It could be, yes. But I mentioned at the outset that I have some hope. I have some hope that we'll be able to decarbonize our economy. One of the reasons is that I believe, honestly, we're starting to elect the sort of people to public office who are willing to do the heavy lifting on this. I want to play a brief audio clip.
Okay.
This is from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, I can't. Never mind.
Okay. Speaking in Congress, in front of a committee, talking about climate change. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Issue. This is a quality of life issue. You want to tell people that their concern and their desire for clean air and clean water is elitist? Tell that to the kids in the South Bronx, which are suffering from the highest rates of childhood asthma in the country. Tell that to the families in Flint, whose kids have their blood is ascending in lead levels. Their brains are damaged for the rest of their lives. Call them elitist. You're telling them that those kids are trying to get on a plane to Davos? People are dying. They are dying. And the response across the other side of the aisle is to introduce an amendment 5 minutes before a hearing in a markup. This is serious. This should not be a partisan issue. This is about our constituents and all of our lives. Iowa, Nebraska, broad swaths of the Midwest are drowning right now, underwater. Farms, towns that will never be recovered and never come back. And we're here, and people are more concerned about helping oil companies than helping their own families? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is about our lives.
Yes, that is what we need. More of that, please.
She's good.
She is really good.
Genuinely. In fact, there's several people in the Congress at this time who are intelligent and actually fun to listen to.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that statement. And I know that there's a lot of Democratic Party skeptics in our audience. I myself am among you. But at this point in time, the Democratic Party is now farther to the left than it has been in my adult life.
Yeah, well, not in my adult life.
No, not in your adult life. No, but in my...
I remember Roosevelt when I was a little kid.
Yeah. So there is some reason to have some hope. But the clock is ticking, as they say. Let's go to Richard.
Richard, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to change the direction for a
sure.
just a brief moment. One of the things that we have ignored is the fact that the people need to change themselves first. And the people need to become aware of who a person, legally speaking, legislatively speaking, in other words, who is a person in law. And I will give listeners the numbers, the ORS numbers, for the definition of person, statutory person, right now, or as soon as they get their pencils, so they can look it up. I want everybody to write this down, ORS 174.100, subsection 6, and in the Administrative Procedures Act, which is how...
Why don't you summarize the law for us, Richard?
All those who are capable of doing business. And in the Administrative Procedures Act, the same thing. The Administrative Procedures Act talks about how agencies of the state, agencies of the U.S. government, interact with persons, not people. At 183.310, subsections 8...
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off, Richard. I'm sorry. Citing sections of law is just not good talk radio. It's not.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, gee.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and you're yeah. not a Luddite, eh? Numbers. Numbers, man.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. You're not going to cite any law, are you?
No. I'm very pro renewables, and I think solar's probably one of our best hopes. We need to get on making more factories to make more solar, and there should be more subsidies for that sort of thing rather than the fossil fuel companies.
Amen.
Also, you know, people don't think much about energy conservation or energy efficiency as much. You have all these old houses and buildings that are not getting updated and upgraded, and I think we're missing a big chunk of energy savings. Also, somehow or another, we need to change the automotive fleet over quicker. It's supposed to take 20 years. It's way too long. And so more incentives for electric vehicles. I think the gentleman who was talking about hybrid vehicles is kind of missing the boat. It's what, sailing the ship slower to the iceberg sort of thing. And if you really want to get to our goal, you simply have to stop burning stuff. I mean, oil, gas, methane, whatever it is you got. And hydrogen doesn't really seem like the answer either.
Well, in fairness, he's not talking about burning that hydrogen. I believe he's talking about combining it with oxygen in a fuel cell reaction, which is
combustion. Yeah, but fuel cells are... They're a ways off, kind of like fusion power.
It's pretty simple technology, and it's existed for more than 100 years. Really, all we need is a plentiful supply of free hydrogen.
Right, just like the technology that we know how to do fusion bombs.
It's different, but go on.
I'll have to disagree with you on that one, because the complexity of a fuel cell car, and it still uses batteries, for God's sake. So it's the complexity of fuel cell cars, I mean, they're not here. You're not going to see them for a while because they're just too expensive. I mean, look at the price of hydrogen way out there. You know, we should be concentrating our energies on making our grid more efficient. We should concentrate on not having the grid, for God's sake. Just waste a lot of power. If you can make power where you're at, much better.
That's true. Decentralized power production would be an enormous advantage.
Also,
it seems like solar is the way to that.
And probably no forest fires.
And the other thing too is we make it difficult compared to other countries for people to get into solar. I've heard, like, Germany, you fill out a half-page application and in you go. Here is a lot of hoops. Matter of fact, people don't usually do it themselves. The company who's selling them the solar does all the permitting process because they're good at it, right? Because they've learned how to do it. And that, I think, you know, like with the landlords and people not doing solar, I live in a rented house. I can't put solar on anything. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to do? And they could do. There's solutions to that. I think if we wouldn't be so restrictive about our thinking on temporary structures, like a temporary solar shed, you know, or solar patio roof type of thing, so that you can take advantage of it. Joe, you said your roof does not face south.
No, I didn't say that my roof isn't, but I said many roofs aren't.
Oh, many. That's true. And you know what? It is very inexpensive for developers when they develop a new subdivision to orient the houses so that all the roofs would be an optimal for solar. I mean, all they have to do is get the right angle and the right orientation. It's not, geez. I mean, I can tell you what the numbers are right now, but I'm not.
Okay.
But I'm not. And so guess what? You can do all this. It's all very simple. We have all the solutions, but we don't have the willpower. We have all the solutions,
I agree with that.
But people are too greedy.
Wait. I want to say one thing. I don't think it's people are too greedy. I think we have a system of capitalism that is rooted in traditional, old-fashioned technologies, and they're unwilling, those who have the power in that situation, to make that conversion because their profit would diminish for a short period of time.
That's right, because the profitability is in what they're doing presently.
Exactly.
But if you look at those oil companies like BP, and you find that they had solar divisions, they have already looked into it. They are ready to go, and they just have to, you know, when time, they're ready to shift. They had the money to do it.
Well, it's kind of like when tobacco copyrighted words like Acapulco Gold. Looking toward the legalization of marijuana. I'm sorry, it's irrelevant. But you're right. And I think that we all can do that. Those of us who build things can do that. I think that the will to do it has to supplant the will to make money.
Well, but on the other side, there's I don't know if you would call it ignorance or the non-knowledge of people. I mean, the other day, the guy's got his semi idling for a half hour. He didn't drive off, and he wasn't warm enough to drive it off. He just had his semi. What the hell?
Well, you're right. You're people, right. Let me give some other.
People in parking lots, their cars idling. They don't. It happens all the time around here. People are wasting energy.
Yeah, you're absolutely not correct. Thinking.
Okay, we're gonna let you go and give others a chance.
All right, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on 90.7 KBOO FM. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Noam Chomsky.
Yay, Noam Chomsky!
You can hear Noam talking about why we must have a Green New Deal.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. At 10 on Flashpoints, they'll continue with their regular series, Julian Assange, Countdown to Freedom. Today's guest is award-winning filmmaker John Pilger. At 11, Stage and Studio features two LGBTQIA+ productions.
Too many initials.
LGBTQIA+ productions. At the annual Outright Festival with James Dixon, director of Booty Candy. You know, that title would get me in the door right there. And Jennifer Lanier, co-artistic director of Ops Fest, which is presenting The Tragedy of Othello. One of my favorite Shakespeare works, Othello. It's a great one. One of the great all-time villains, Iago.
Iago.
Am I talking to an empty room here?
No, I agree that Othello is a great play.
Okay. At 11:30, Art Focus Hope Joseph Gallivan interviews Jesse Spies Werner about the Pacific Northwest College of Arts 2019 MFA show. All this and more coming up today on your community-supported radio station, KBOO. You can also hear all of these programs after they air, including this program, on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. Yes.
That's you.
Any KBOO show is available as a podcast. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Isn't that cool?
Even though I'm, as you say, a Luddite.
Man, you may have never listened to a podcast.
I have listened to many podcasts.
Oh, good for you,
my
Joe.
My problem, again, is people walking around talking to the air, and you can't tell whether they're crazy or they're talking to somebody.
Well, I hate to bring it to you.
I think there should be a little light that goes
that has
on.
Predated cell
some
phones,
kind of
that,
some
that
kind
sort
of
behavior.
Some kind of thing.
Let's go back to the phones. Kateri is next.
Hi. Hi, you guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
You are so silly, and you are so sincere, and I love you. And I'm totally for solar, of course. And I was listening to the BBC the night before last, and there was this news blurb only one time, and they said that hundreds of coal-fired power plants are being built in Asia and now in Africa.
That's true. That is a fact.
And that blew my mind. And I've been in despair until I turned your show on. So I know where there's life, there's hope. But talk about migration of people. Wait till it happens massively here.
They're coming, they're coming. Hooroo, hurrah. Yes, they
no,
are.
No, I'm not talking about coal-fired power plants. It's just that with climate destruction and what's going on in our country and all over the world with fires and massive storms, as it gets increasingly, exponentially worse, and the migration not only happens all over the world, but happens here, then people are going to wake up.
No, I think you're right. And the question of why, my wonderful engineer says, well, why the heck would you not put solar in, of all places, the equatorial areas of Africa? The answer is very simple, and it starts with a C and it ends with an M. It's capitalism, because the opportunities on fossil fuels are so good for those who want to make a profit and so bad for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, that's all I had to say today.
Thanks very much for the call. John writes into the Facebook page to say, we just recently visited Finland, and they had solar panels at 61 degrees north latitude. Not exactly a spendthrift population.
Really?
It's practical.
It is practical. And it is cheap, by the way. And you know who's leading the market on solar panels?
No, who's that?
China.
I did not know that.
That's a true fact.
All right, let's go to Helen. Good morning.
Hi. There's been people who want to have solar farms, about 12 acres out in the country.
Yeah.
There is a downside to things. First of all, if they're going to have these, they have to put a large amount of money down for when they're obsolete. Because where are they going to throw them away? They are toxic. The other thing is that the state has made some new ruling, so the solar farms cannot encroach on farmland. So even for whatever subject you want to talk about, there's a good side and there's a bad side. Think of wind energy. They don't think about the paths of the bird and how many birds get killed. So that's all I want to say.
Okay, thanks for the call. Well, you know who hates wind power?
Who's that?
Donald Trump.
Oh, right, yeah.
He fears the windmills.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Helen. Okay. And you make several good points, which we're not going to cover right now because we're going to take more calls.
Let's go to the first of two consecutive mics. Mic number one. You're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, hi. I appreciate the discussion and the ideas, and they seem to me like they're flailing away at slowing the progress of the destruction. And what we're not doing, we can't invent our way out of this. We have to be good listeners. And indigenous people are the only culture that's ever understood how to cohabitate with the earth. And that's the only way it's ever going to be in the future. And we have failed to be good listeners to things that actually work. A lot of these things are good short-term ideas. They'll stave off the immediate destruction. But none of these things are as sustainable as we know indigenous cultures to be.
So wait a minute. You're opposed to the Industrial Revolution entirely?
Yes. Well, it depends what you mean by entirely, but we can have an industrial revolution and listen to indigenous people also.
Well, I agree with you. I would hope that was so.
We'll make the wise choice. And we're so anthropocentric, we're so white-centric in how we make this discussion, and we've forgotten the people who are the experts.
No, I think several of your points are really valid. My point was that we are stuck in, and we continue to be stuck in, a system which requires profit and requires this high technology, which is based on originally on steam power, really, but also on any kind of system other than solar. Anyway, I'm amazed at the whole show. Noise. I'm amazed at the fact that our show, which we leave open for you to call on, has focused in on the issue of solar power. That's kind of interesting. Let's go to the next mic.
Mic number two. Good morning.
Morning, KBU.
Hey, yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to congratulate all the callers. So it's just a lot of good stuff. And I just wanted to say that. I mean, KB was awesome.
Okay.
And information flow and all that. And as far as listening, it's going to be so important now and in the future, and inspiring people like Winona LaDuke, and just listen, research, to just throw the information around of what they're doing in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, actually, there are many things happening in lots of places, and many of them, as it happens, are being led by indigenous peoples. So I appreciate your call, man.
Thanks very much.
You know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that call.
Wisdom out there being ignored.
Look at the resistance to the Keystone Pipeline in North Dakota.
That's good.
Led by indigenous peoples.
Right.
And it really, everybody else had to follow along, follow their lead. So tell us, Joe, you haven't expressed your hopes, your fears.
My hopes and fears for all these years, Ben and me tonight. What kind of Christian nonsense are we in? I want to say something that's really disturbing me, and that is the tendency amongst otherwise well-educated people to believe in things like astrology and Wiccan and Jesus, all these things that have no substance in the real world and distract us from the problems of the real world. I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it.
What do you propose we do?
Well, there's nothing we can do. I can complain. That's it. I mean, I'm not going to say to the local Wiccan, don't cast a spell on me, because there's some great songs with spells in them. You understand?
It's this kind of incisive analysis that keeps our listeners coming back, Joe.
Well, I think so. And I also think that there's a lot of people who now will call us and say, what do you mean? The astrologer's right. And come on, people. That ain't got nothing to do with real world. Or worlds, for that matter.
Let's go to Joseph. Good morning, Joseph.
Hi, good morning.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you. I'd like to say hi to my brother who has his birthday. He's an avid listener and a solar and the alternative engineer.
Okay.
All right. Happy birthday.
Joseph's brother. To save the planet. And I'd like to talk about your previous caller who was concerned about farmlands. You can integrate farmlands and solar farms.
Uh-huh.
There's no problem with integrating, because we integrate all sorts of crops with each other and technologies with crops, and so that's not really a big problem. It's the developers who have a problem with. Whoops, that's my breakfast.
Uh-oh.
And then the wind power killing migratory birds. Well, how much does pollution, or how about light pollution?
Right, or how about glass windows?
Yeah, right. And so what's wrong with the population that's so scared of the dark that we have to leave the lights on all night long?
No, in fact, that you raised the thing. Let me stop you for just a second. That is something that really bothers me. I don't understand why we don't go dark when it's dark. And the reason why I don't understand it is there was a study done a few years ago in the public schools. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where it was. Where they used to always have the lights on in the mm-hmm. buildings, thinking they would stop the criminals from coming in and doing bad things. Turns out when the lights were turned off, the criminals were not in the buildings because it was too hard.
They can't see in the dark.
Exactly.
Nobody can see in the dark. They needed flashlights, and it's easier to see people with flashlights than it is when you're just doing around with the ambulance.
Exactly.
And there's nothing worse than driving down the street and saying, oh, there is the blah, blah, blah store. It's still open. Well, it's not still open. They just left their lights on all night. And so what's the point? It's just...
Well, and you know, things are happening that are very, very disturbing in this context. Elon Musk and others are launching satellites to use for communication purposes, which are literally going to get in the way of seeing the stars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
well,
real.
I have an all-electric car. Uh-huh. Costs me about $1 to drive 100 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. It's so much faster than other cars.
I know. They go really fast.
Yeah, because that's part of the whole G-ball thing. It's like, let's drive really fast and make a lot of noise. Well, I guess I could have a louder stereo and annoy people that
way.
Well,
the only thing wrong with electric cars is you can't hear them coming.
I haven't run over anybody yet.
Okay,
and Lord
great.
Knows I've tried.
I've tried and I've tried. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, they're, and God bless them. But, you know, the only time I heard about one electric car accident was a woman who got hit on a bike. I'm so sorry for that. But the car was in the bike lane. So it wasn't because it was an electric car. It was because of bad driving.
You know, yeah, stupid persons will hurt other people. That's always been true.
Can we have a whole show about bad drivers in Portland?
I could, but it would be endless and virtually pointless.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I love you guys.
Take care, man. All right. So I is Mark next? Mark, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We can be post-materialists.
Can you say that again?
Post-materialist.
Oh, after materialism. Okay.
Yes. I'd like to talk about public publishing for a moment. I heard an interview with Richard Price, who's the founder of academia.edu, which has 20 million papers. And his idea is to make information and knowledge free. And,
I thought it was, at this point, kind of free.
I'm sorry?
I thought with the internet and so on, after you make that initial investment, information is kind of free.
Well, this is a wondrous way to publish. I've actually uploaded 20 articles, including Against Social Darwinism and 95 Theses Against the Rule of the Financial Markets.
Uh-huh.
His idea is to flip the paywall into open access.
I think that's a good idea, actually.
It's super exciting, because the publishing world can be so cold and...
Cold and cramped, I would say.
Just like our elite democracy has failed, and our campaign system is so dispiriting, you know, as in jaded ex-San Franciscan, I don't know whether to be more depressed before the elections or after the elections.
I can understand your feelings, man. Listen, I want to give some others an opportunity.
Okay, academia.edu.
Okay, thank you very much. And that's a useful site. I guess we go to another mic. This is our third mic. Mike, you're on the air.
This is second mic, second time.
Oh, second. Whoa, okay. All right.
I just want to applaud your comment about just being sick and tired of this fundamentalism of and the propaganda.
Well, I wouldn't. It's not just fundamentalism. It's belief in magic.
Well, that's my point. And the powers that be and the fossil fuel, they understand that completely. They spend billions on advertising every few years, right?
Absolutely.
And here's an example that kind of got things. There was a big tipping point in America. In the for sure, after OPEC, right?
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s. What was the first thing the Republican prostitute class for big oil? What was the first thing they did? And it wasn't what they did; it's why they did it. One of the first things White House did was take the solar panels off of the White House that were put on.
Oh, I remember that. That was, I think, Ronald Reagan, wasn't it?
That was, of course it was. And it was sick. It was sick. You think that was his idea? No. That was, you know,
well, it was symbolic.
I agree.
It was symbolic, and it was an indication of the power of capital. I really believe that.
And that's what I'm saying. They know that it's a religion. Education, anti-science, anti-progress, and anti- awareness and anything but bold free capitalism is a religion. Okay, so this gets back to the earlier point we're talking about listening. So if we want to understand this, if you want to call them enemy, this idea, this religion, we need to understand it, that it's not just common sense or even science or opportunity. It's literally, especially for people that don't understand it all, which most of us, including myself, a huge thing. That's where that free education publishing thing is so important. We have to listen to the enemy and understand them so that we can show our concern and empathy and that's where education comes from. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks for the call. I just want to remind you that one of my favorite comedians, Sarah Silverman, said that Jesus is magic. So if you accept that concept, you can accept almost anything else that goes on. But I can remember back in the 60s when, you know, you'd be walking down and some very attractive young woman or attractive young man would say, "What's your sign?" And I always would come up with some new thing, you know, sign of the horse's ass, whatever. Anyway, it didn't work. It's just as well. Listen, there are people calling us and I should get on with it. Here's, is it Jaime? You're next.
Yes, gentlemen, I want to say that I am on the left. I'm secular Jewish. I'm completely law-abiding and totally heterosexual. But I have the following comment. I think you don't understand the kind of pressures, overwhelming pressures, that the elite and the politically correct left has put the white working class under for the past 40 years. My father, who put a man on the moon and created the a battlefield radios for Vietnam, because he was an FM telemetry engineer, lost his job when Nixon cut the funding for both Vietnam and the space program at the exact same time. And I have the following short statement, very concise. If Trump is reelected because of holier than thou PC Democrats for whom, you know, no one is progressive enough or minority advocating enough, then I'm only being facetious. I come from the same home borough as Woody Allen and Mel Brooks.
Me too.
I'm going to get in my Prius. Trump is reelected.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to drive to Joe's house with an accelerant like benzene and set his house on fire. Then I'm going to jump on the Max, go over to Abe's house.
Wait, I know you're kidding, but this is inappropriate. I'm sorry. We're not talking destruction here. You know, it's just too many people out there don't understand that there's irony. Anyway, I want to say that your anger is not misplaced. I would like to spend just a little bit of time talking about the fact of kind of belief systems getting in the way of reality as we understand it, physics and so on. And I can remember back in the radicalism of the 60s, in the midst of all that, were these things like the Age of Aquarius, all this stuff based on a planetary system that Ptolemy, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter was it wasn't based on anything in the real world. And I still know people, really intelligent people, who like to play around with astrology and are, some of them, quite serious about it. And the same is true for almost all the other oddities of religion, including the mainstream religions. I think that this stuff is inherently, though not intended to be, but inherently dangerous. And what we need to do is to begin to think about how things work and why they work, what is physics and what is not physics. And it really bothers me. And I, you know, I got a moment here to say that, and a lot of you are probably going to jump on me on that. And I don't mean to dishonor people who have religious beliefs of all kinds, ranging from Wiccan to Jesus, but I have to say that there's nothing about those things that can, aside from moral and ethical problems, which is not small, but aside from those things, there is nothing useful in that material, because it's all based on, if it's based on anything, it's based on Middle Ages science, and it's really weird. Hey, we got another caller. I want to give her an opportunity before we run out of time. This is Franny. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. The one caller who talked about turning the lights off at night.
Yeah.
Yes, and somebody needs to start a campaign around that. That's bothered me for years.
No, I think it's really a good idea. I think there should be a law against it, in fact, except for streetlights, which are necessary.
Someone should do a study on like how much energy that uses.
Right.
The second thing is that last caller, people, I think part of the problem with people in their thinking, some people, is that they take their own personal experience and then they act as if they've got a platform because something happened in their family, and it's like, what, we all need to get out of our own skin and be in the world and not be like, well, I grew up here, so therefore, you know, who cares? I mean, it's not about the individual anymore and never really was. So to all those people who are stuck in your own story, get out of it because there's a bigger story. That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the call. You know, I have a problem, and I think many of you maybe have a problem with my having a problem about, and I brought this up earlier a couple of times, about the whole idea of religious thinking taking the place of rational thought. And I think that the two often combine in certain kinds of ways and produce good ethical outcomes, but also not so good ethical outcomes. And I'm very concerned about this. Some of the most influential people in my life actually were Catholics and Jews and Buddhists and others and followers of Islam. But that does not justify the mystical, magical wonderland that obfuscates and blocks rational thought. And for that matter, speculative thought. And I think that's really something we need to recognize and be critical about. We don't need to outlaw it. We shouldn't outlaw it. But we need to be critical of it. And I'm willing to bite the bullet and do that. And I know some of you will be offended, but what can I say? Hey, William is next. William, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just make a couple comments. The promo for your program today, I think they said you were going to talk about, are you either optimistic or despairing? And, you know, there's a lot of attention about being optimistic and pessimistic. And you also just mentioned about religious beliefs getting in the way. Actually, there is another approach that I think is absolutely mandatory for humanity today. It's absolutely mandatory for humanity tomorrow. Let's say that the worst of climate change happens, and 100 years from now, we're down to 100 million people, or a million people, because of the climate has changed so severely. The only thing that will help us today or in any other circumstance is if we love each other and we express that love in action through caring and concern and cooperation.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, to me, that's the only thing that there is ever a demand for, is loving behavior towards our fellows humans and towards the planet that we find ourselves on.
You're turning a little Beatle-ish, but I do agree with you.
Well, in that respect, I'm certainly happy to be Beatle-ish.
Okay. That's one of the great religions, you know, Beatleism.
I hear you. Yeah, so thanks for, you know, taking the call, and
yeah.
Really, I hope that we, the people, will act that way, lovingly towards our brothers and sisters.
Thank you very much for the call. I think we're going to crowd in one more caller. Let's give Stuart an opportunity. You got to talk fast, Stuart.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I think that last caller has got some very good points. I was thinking along the lines of what you were saying about organized religion. And I think maybe if we took a look at the indigenous persons and their religion and their respect of the land, that it would do us a lot of good at this
point. No, I agree with you. I don't mean to castigate religion per se. What I am concerned about is a tendency to escape from reality and the problems of the real world through magical thinking. And when I characterize it in terms of religion, it's not about belief systems per se. It's about that quality of denying reality.
Yes, I thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Thanks a lot for the call. And, you know, this is a moment, I think I have a moment here before we run out of time. I want to thank you all for calling. I think it's very interesting that the topic was self-directed and it turned toward energy problems. And I think that it's really neat to have an audience of people who are aware, who are willing to challenge, and who will disagree with each other respectfully. So I want to thank you all as listeners. And I want to urge you to stay tuned to KBOO. And I want to remind you that we have the best in music programming as well as the best in public affairs. I'll see you next time. next week. And, you know, I get ready for this. God bless.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 50th anniversary of Oxamoxwa with the Garcia Birthday Band on Friday, June 14th at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Oxamoxwa is a 1969 album by the Grateful Dead. Fans and critics alike consider this era to be the band's experimental apex. The Garcia Birthday Band is a group of veteran musicians interpreting and celebrating the repertoire of the late Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. Again, that's the 50th anniversary of Oxamoxwa with the Garcia Birthday Band on Friday, June 14th at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2019 Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Clark College Hanna Hall in Vancouver, Washington. The theme of the 7th annual Juneteenth celebration is Together We Rise. This theme addresses the idea that together we rise above the fray of hatred, despair, and discord. The celebration features a job fair, panels, awards, contests, an art gallery, live entertainment, and more. Again, that's the 2019 Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Clark College Hanna Hall, 1933 Fort Vancouver Way in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It's 1 minute after 9. Coming up at 10 on Flashpoints, they'll continue with the